Romans chapter 3 is where, for those of us that have memorized the Romans Road, it is the beginning point. It's the place where you start when you're sharing the gospel. And the situation yesterday when I was talking to the two boys that were riding their bike, I shared with them. They said, well, we can get to heaven by being good. We think we can, you know, we're going to work our way to get to heaven. And I told them, I said, there's no way. I said, all it takes is one sin, and you disqualify yourself from getting there on your own. And the Bible says right here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, it says, all have sinned and come short. Well, actually, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not a one of us is good enough to get to heaven on our own. If we could be good enough to get to heaven, then Jesus never would have gone to the cross. He would have just told you, said, be good and I'll see you when you get here. I mean, that makes sense, right? If all we have to do is be good to get to heaven, Jesus would have clearly not gone to the cross. He said, you just be good and I'll see you when you get here. And I make this point, I drive this point home when I talk to people about their soul, because it's important for us to understand that your goodness and my goodness is not going to help us get to heaven.
That's right.
And then I tell them, if there was another way for us to get to heaven, Jesus created heaven. He created the place called hell. And by the way, hell was not created for people. You need to emphasize that sometimes when you're talking to people, because the Bible clearly tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says that the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for us, but you can go. All you got to do is tell Jesus no, and you're on your way. The truth is, the Bible here, it tells us some things about a special commodity, the most precious commodity mankind has ever known. I'm talking about a song that we sing. Some people call it the Christian anthem. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. We're going to spend some time talking about what grace is today. What is grace, preacher? And every once in a while, I'll use the acronym God's Riches at Christ's Expense. And that's what it is. When we get grace from God, it's something, it's a commodity that we don't deserve, cannot earn at all. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Your baptism, your church membership, your good works, doesn't matter who your mom or daddy are, doesn't matter what your heritage is, doesn't matter what country you're born in. There are countries where you're born and you have a better access to the gospel, which those of us that have been born in America have access to a Bible, where that's not the case in a lot of countries. But I want to spend some time, let's stand and honor God's book. We'll start with verse 20, Romans chapter 3. And we're going to run a few verses here and then go a few more places. Starting with verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now is the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I like that phrase, there's no difference. You think that you have special privileges with God? No, you don't. All of us are in the same boat. All of us have access to heaven, or we have access to hell. God doesn't. There are some people that will tell you that there are certain people that God has selected, and they're the only ones that can go to heaven. That's a lie.
That's right.
My Bible tells me God wants everybody to go to heaven.
That's
right. So there's no difference. Look at verse 23. This is where we use the Roman road quite often. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that word all means all, and that's all means. Amen. That means you, that means me, that means everybody that's ever been born, that means everybody that's going to be born. We're all either sinners or going to be sinners, and none of us are qualified to go to heaven on our own. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for that great grace. That grace that the songwriter John Newton called amazing grace. And oh, how great it is, how amazing it is. Lord, we ask you to show up today. This preacher is well capable of ruining the message that you have for your people. Lord, we need to hear from you. If any good's going to take place here today, Lord, let your Holy Spirit take over this sermon, this message, and let us hear from you about that great, great commodity of grace that you provide. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and it says there in verse 20, it says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Your goodness, that verse simply says that your goodness and my goodness and nobody's goodness is going to get us to heaven. You cannot earn heaven, okay? You can go, but you got to do it God's way.
Amen.
That's the only way you can go. And it does not cost you. You don't have to get your wallet out of your pocket.
Amen.
Okay? You don't have to walk little old ladies across the street. Although that's a good thing. You don't have to help people. Although that's a good thing. You don't have to come to church. Although that's a good thing. A lot of people are not going to hear the truth of God because they're not going to be in God's house to hear it. But God's got a special thing, and it says that no flesh, your flesh, I want you to get this, our flesh is the problem. Okay? Our flesh is the problem. It likes to go the wrong way. And there's nobody that has ever been born except the Lord Jesus, and he was already existed long from eternity past. But none of us that have been born can say we're all right, because you're not all right. I'm not all right. The only way we get right is by being saved. And the only way we stay right is by staying close to Jesus and letting him call our shots. And that's the only way it happens. None of us are good enough. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's why a lot of people don't like to come to churches like this. They'll go to some of these feel-good churches every day and sometimes twice a day. Because they make them feel good. You know what I want? I'm going to tell you the truth. I might not make you feel good, but you get Jesus inside, it'll all get right.
Amen.
You get Jesus. You get yourself right with Jesus, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you face. The storms come, the storms go. It doesn't matter. Hey, you're going through it with the Lord.
Amen.
And he'll take care of you. I like the story about the disciples in the boat. And the storm came. And they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Get in the boat and go to the other side. And the storm came anyway. Good grief. You wouldn't think a storm would come when we're obeying God. Let me explain something to you. The devil doesn't like us following God. And he's going to fight us. The closer you get, the more he's going to fight. You've got to make your mind up. You're going to stay with Jesus no matter what. Where else are you going to go? And so what happened was the disciples were in the boat and the storm came anyway. But you know who showed up? Jesus. They didn't recognize him at first. Sometimes the Lord's always with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now sometimes we ignore him. Sometimes we kick him aside. Say, I don't want your advice. I don't want the Bible. I don't want this. I don't want that. Let me do it my way. That's the old song that Frank Sinatra used to sing. I wonder how his way is working out right now. Hey, your way is not going to be a good way. My way is not going to be a good way. God's way is always best. We sing, one of the songs we sing in the hymnal is, 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Amen.
I love that old song. And it says right here, it says your flesh is the problem. Your flesh is going to pull you the wrong way. Your flesh is going, you're going to have to fight it to do right. Just get that down and realize the spirit inside that wants to do right is going to have to make the flesh a servant. Okay? When I was growing up, we had a German Shepherd. And you didn't take the dog for a walk, he took you for a walk. Okay? That dog was so strong. We had a chain that we used for him and to keep him in the backyard, and he kept breaking the chain. That's the way our flesh is. If we don't keep it reeled in. Now, some of us are in situations, and the situation is, they did this to me, and that they did that to me, and I don't like it. Remember something. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, says, God is for be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
When somebody does something to me and they hurt me, I drive a bus, okay? I drive a city bus 40 hours a week. I have people give me a hard time all the time. Sometimes it's the passengers, sometimes it's people on the road, sometimes it's the place I work, it doesn't matter. But when they do something to me and hurt me and it bothers me, I have a choice. And you do too. When somebody does something that you don't like, you have a choice. You can either react and handle it yourself or turn it over to the Lord and let him handle it. If you turn it over to the Lord and let him handle it, number one, we don't get in trouble with the Lord.
Right.
Number two, he can do a lot better job of straightening it out than we can. There was I've been listening to a sermon by a guy, and I know Miss Amy will recognize the name, and some of you will too. A man named Dr. Harold Seitler. We heard a lot about him. I don't know that I'd ever heard his name until Pastor Shugart. I started as assistant pastor with Pastor Shugart. But Dr. Seitler was telling a story about it. He was on the radio and he had a children's home for homeless kids and Tabernacle Baptist Church up there in Greenville, South Carolina. It was well known for many, many years. And he got a letter one day. And the letter was from a woman in another, actually in North Carolina. And the letter said, I'm 55 years old. I've been a prostitute for several decades. I've lost three of my children because of diseases that I got from my occupation. She said, I'm a dirty woman. And I just want to know, can God save somebody like me? Dr. Seitler, he's a busy man, but he said, as soon as I got that letter, he said, I got to the typewriter. Now, that was before email, amen, and computers and all that stuff. But he said, as soon as I got, he said, with tears in my eyes, I started typing back to that lady. He said, there's a balm in Gilead. Now, that's a B-A-L-M, okay? That means it's a soothing thing. Not a B-O-M-B, okay? But there's a balm in Gilead. And he said, come, let us reason together. And he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And he told her, yes, Jesus can save you. Yes, Jesus can save you. Oh, it was several months later. He was in that town where this woman was, and he was having lunch with the preacher, and he was going to give the preacher the information about the lady, and he couldn't remember the lady's name, having the preacher look her up. And so he said, I'll have to go back to my office and find out. While he's sitting there, a 10-year-old girl comes up to him and hands him a letter. And it was the daughter of this woman, and she had gotten, and the mom had gotten saved. And she said, I just wanted to know if you're the one that I'm supposed to give this to. And the woman came up to him, and him and the preacher and the woman and her daughter had a shouting fit right there in the restaurant. Amen. Years later, 20, 25 years later, she drove from where she was several hundred miles. And she came up to Dr. Seitler and said, do you remember me? And he said, no. He said, I'm sorry, I don't. I probably should, but I don't. She said, I'm that woman that sent you that letter so many years ago. And she said, I just want to tell you, it's still good. I want you to know something. When you get saved, the grace that God provides for you, for me, for anybody, it will last through eternity because His mercy endureth forever. He will not let you go. He wants you to be His child. But you have a choice. You can say, no, Lord, I don't want to go to heaven. Now, that'd be a dumb thing to say. I don't believe anybody in their right mind would say, I want to go to hell. No. I was talking to the young man yesterday. Aaron knows who I'm talking about. Young man, he was of another faith. And I said, how do you know what you believe is true? See, one of the things I mentioned to the young people when we went by and dropped off the donuts the other day, is I told them I can prove this book true. There's ways to prove that it's true. For one thing, Columbus believed, let's go there right quick. I'll show it to you. Isaiah chapter 40. You see, if the book's true, then the grace is real. If the book's not true, then there's no hope for any of us. Look at verse 22. This is talking about God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Now, I'm not going to go into all the things it says, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. I want you to think about that. How big would God's hands have to be if He stretched the heavens? Big enough to dwell in them like a tent. That's a pretty big hand. I want you to know that those are the hands that are over us when we get saved. Those are the ones that are protecting us when we trust Christ. Those are the hands that were nailed to the cross that provided that fountain filled with blood. Those are the hands that extend grace to you right now. Not a one of us. Not a one of us. I'm pastor, and I'm still not worthy of going to heaven on my own. The Pope isn't. No rabbis. No imams. Nobody is worth going to heaven on their own. You can't do it. And that's why it breaks my heart when I hear people, "I'm good." I go to give them a tract or ask them about their soul. "I'm good." My Bible tells me you're not. Bible says that there's none good, no, not one.
That's right.
There's none righteous. And see, that passage right there, it says that it is He, talking about God, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Where is He sitting? He's sitting on planet Earth, which is a circle. That's why Isaiah wrote that passage. And he wrote that passage, why? To let us know that those idiots that believed that the Earth was flat are idiots. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't mix words. There's a bunch of idiots out there that teach you that evolution's true too. I know I didn't come from monkey. They know their ancestry better than I do, but I know I didn't come from no monkeys. Amen. But it says right here that the earth is a circle. Columbus believed that the earth was round. Where did he get the idea that the earth was round? It's right here in the book. It was written 2,200 years before Columbus was born. All Columbus had to do was read his Bible. And he realized that the earth was made by God. And God told Isaiah what to write 22 centuries before. So he just believed the Bible instead of those so-called scientists in their day. That's just one simple way to prove that the Bible's true. How would Isaiah know 2,700 years ago that the earth was round when they didn't understand it in Columbus's day? It's because God told Isaiah what to write. And that's a simple process of how to know that the Bible's true. If the Bible's true and you say, "I'm good, I can handle this by myself." If the Bible's true, you're going to be in big trouble. But I don't want to see anybody leave this place today without that grace. See, you can't explain grace. Explaining grace is kind of like explaining a beautiful sunset to a blind man. Just words are going to fail. How would you explain that to a blind man? Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's something that we can't handle. Where would you get it if God didn't provide it? See, grace and mercy are two different things, but they go hand in hand. Mercy is me not going to hell, even though that's what I deserve. God extended his mercy so I don't have to receive the bad things that I deserve. Grace is me receiving the good things that God wants to give me, even though I don't deserve them either. So I kind of like the mercy, because I don't have to go to hell. You don't either. But I also, well, I like that grace too. Because I not only do I not have to go to hell, I get to go to heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Praise the Lord.
He's got a mansion with your name on it. I just hope that mansion is occupied in eternity. We're going to look at a couple more verses. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. How do you get the goodness of God? This verse will tell us. Verse number 8, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. How do you get that grace of God? It's got to come by you putting your faith in Jesus. If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, you'll see where the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When you believe God, what's going to happen is God says, okay, when you put your trust in Jesus, what happens is he writes your name in God's book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That lake of fire I mentioned to the young people the other day, it's a real place. Why are we bothering with these kids? Why do we knock doors, Aaron? Why do we bother with that? Because we don't want to see anybody end up in that awful place.
Right.
Jesus died for all of us. And praise God, somebody told me. And my job is just to pass it on. Because I want to see everybody in heaven.
Amen.
Everybody. And this passage says, by grace are you saved through faith. Now I want you to get this. The front door, get in the church. By the way, you can't break through the windows, amen. To get in the front door, you got to have a key. You know how you get into God's door of grace? Not by works. Key won't fit. Not by being special, somebody special. That key won't fit either. It's by faith. You've got that. The faith is the key that unlocks the door. And when you open that door, and Jesus is the door, by the way, when you open that door, just imagine the glories of heaven are yours. Access to the throne of God when you have a problem. Troubles, hey, they're still going to come, but I don't have to fight the world by myself anymore. I've got Jesus right here beside me, and he can give me the strength, and he's going to see me through it. And guess what? My troubles here are just temporary anyway. You die with Jesus, your troubles are just beginning for eternity. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't do it by yourself. It says it is the gift of God. I don't want you to take this wrong, but
We love doing things for people. We got excited when we bought those fans for you guys. We don't expect anything back at all. You didn't have to earn them. You didn't have to wash my car. You didn't have to come down to church and trim the hedges or anything. They were a gift. And that's what God offers today. God offers you a gift. You can't earn it. But let me get this, let me give this to you. You still ought to try. Oh, you can't earn it. But there's something wrong with somebody that doesn't try to love God and show him that they love God.
That's right.
By being in church, by working for him, by living right. There's something wrong with a situation like that.
The truth is, if we're grateful, I know Thanksgiving's coming up quick, but if we're thankful and grateful for the grace that God has provided, it'll come out. You know what Abraham did? He believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. But then, what did he do? He obeyed. If you really believe God, you're going to obey. There's a problem there. And there's a lot of people that believe they're saved, and they're really not saved. They just said a prayer one day, and they think that's all. Hey, it's more than a prayer. It's got to come from your heart. And if it comes from your heart, it's got to be real. You don't just say some words like a chant and think God's going to save you and you can live any way you want. There's a change that takes place if you really get saved. Look at what the next verse says. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is in verse 10. A lot of times we skip verse 10, but I want to bring out verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Let me ask you a question. When people see you, and nobody sees us more than their family, do they praise God for the workmanship that they see in you? Hey, they should. Because if we're saved, we're his workmanship. Now, if you just think you're saved, maybe you resemble more of the devil's workmanship. But said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, I want you to get this. The good works don't get you saved. The good works are the results of being saved. Okay? You get saved. That's why we sing the song, invitation song, a lot of times. Just as I am, without one plea. I want you to think about that. You can't fix your problem. You have to come to God just as you are, and he changes us. He makes something special. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before time, hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I know Abraham got saved because when God told him, Abraham, I want you to leave town, he might have asked, said, Lord, where are we going? Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abraham didn't know where he was going. He just was told to leave town. But he went. I don't expect you to know where Jesus is going to lead you, but I will guarantee it's the best place for you. I never imagined being a pastor. My family here, I got family here, and they can vouch for that. But when the Lord said, that's what I want, I said, okay, Lord. It's always going to be best when you do it God's way. But the key is, and this is where His grace is just waiting for any of us. But we've got to take that key of faith and put that faith in the door, the Lord Jesus, and it'll unlock. And the grace of God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that mercy and that endureth forever, that joy unspeakable. I want you to understand it's all tied together. And it's all waiting on the other side of the door. You just got to go to Jesus to get it. In a crowd like this, I believe there might be some that aren't sure that they're going to heaven. But I believe that there are some that want to know. And Jesus wants you to go. My concern is, what are you going to do with that key of faith? Are you going to put it in Buddha? Are you going to put it in yourself? Are you going to open up God's grace by putting it in the door of Jesus and unlocking the riches of the grace of God? The things that God says. He says, him that overcometh, I will inherit all. Him that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God's got something special for you. What are you going to do with that key of faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your love and mercy. And Lord, what an amazing, amazing commodity the grace of God is. Lord, there's no way we could describe it. There's no way we could measure it. It's just so vast. But it's sure what everybody needs. Help us, Lord. Use the invitation as you see fit. And Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, help them not to leave this place without putting their trust in Jesus. Using that key of faith to open the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.